Shakespeare's Richard III remains one of his most vivid and striking portrayals of human culpability. Based largely upon this play, we have developed an image of Richard as a child killer thirsty for his brother's throne. To me, it is one of the most skillful examples of political propaganda as entertainment that we have. I would argue that it rivals Triumph of the Will and will outlast that film. To remind you, Shakespeare wrote during the reign of Elizabeth I of the Tudor dynasty. His plays chronicle the rise and fall of the monarchs who occupied the British throne, ending with a play about Elizabeth's father, Henry VIII, which was actually finished by John Fletcher. The histories comprise one of my favorite soap operas of all time, but also, it must be remembered, they were written with very specific political prejudices in mind at a time when people regularly died for disagreements. Within the show, Richard III, we meet Henry Tudor, who will become Henry VII and found the Tudor dynasty, thereby ending the War of the Roses. It was essential that he be painted as a hero, saving England from a monster by killing Richard, and then cementing his alliances through marriage to Edward IV's daughter, Elizabeth, who was Richard's ward. In reality, his claim to the throne was not the strongest. Shakespeare uses the histories to try to cement Henry V and Henry VII in people's minds. Nor was his valor great. He did not kill Richard himself. In fact, he did not even engage him in direct combat on Bosworth Field. But in the play, we have the two battle to the death, with the young hero liberating England from the clutches of the villainous usurper. To state it clearly, our bard was laying the groundwork in people's minds for the heroic and divine right of the Tudor dynasty to the British throne. Ignore that Henry VII was a largely forgettable ruler whose greatest claim to fame was to be called out by the Pope for greed and acquisitiveness. You are only supposed to remember that he was a hero and Richard was the bad guy. For all political ambition to succeed, there must be an accompanying popular culture vehicle to communicate the message. Elizabethan England was rife with political tension, and the palace was keenly aware of the importance of holding sway over the minds of the masses. But do not delude yourself that this is a thing of the past. We are entering the presidential primary season. And for the next 18 months, some of the most wealthy, influential, successful, and well-connected people in the country will spend vast fortunes to tell us all the same story. Each one of them came from hardscrabble beginnings and worked hard to overcome obstacles to become successful. But at heart, they are each normal, down-to-earth people. None of them ever do their own grocery shopping, yet all of them keenly feel and live the day-to-day trials of the middle class in America. It is this normalcy and intimate understanding of the real struggles of day-to-day life that makes them the most average person best suited to lead the free world. Just as Henry VII's origin story for the dynasty was essential to holding the throne, so the supposed origin stories of the candidates to choose from will become priority fodder in the media, not just in the news, but also talk shows, stand-up comedy, sketch shows, and more. Perhaps we should ask ourselves if we really want the most normal, average person as president, or maybe we might want the most accomplished and exceptional person at the helm. If anything, election season reminds me that the bard had it right. There is nothing new under the sun, whether it be a winter of discontent or a glorious summer.